Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you that your Word is true. Grateful, Lord, that you would give us the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of you. We ask tonight that you would teach us and help us to know what your Spirit says to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 8 in your Holly Bible. Your basic instructions before leaving earth. Jesus, don't leave earth without him. Right? Judges chapter 8. I'm titled a Bible study tonight. I've entitled Wisdom in Our Spiritual Warfare. Wisdom in Our Spiritual Warfare. Now, we talk a lot about the weapons of our warfare, right? The instruments. For those of you who recall Romans 13, the armor of light. It's the same word there. It's really weapons of light. As we would talk about the belt of truth, the armor, the breastplate of, you know, that righteousness, the helmet of salvation, those are instruments of our warfare. So we talk a lot about the weapons of our warfare. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the wisdom in our spiritual warfare. So Book of Judges given unto the church, I believe, one of the key reasons and how we're studying it this time around, that we might learn not to live like the people around us. That's straightforward. Coming out of the world, saved, right? Born again, new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Woohoo! If that gets you, it gets me every time I read it, that I'm new in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to live this new life. And in living that new life, we take up this great instruction in chapter 8 from Gideon's life. If you are addicted, like I am, to a proverb a day, I invite you to today's proverb, Proverb 24. And if you're not addicted to a proverb a day, you will be after this. Absolutely. Cole, do you believe me? Proverb a day? Heff, is he addicted to a proverb a day?
I don't know what he does.
You don't know what he does yet. All right, we have to investigate. All right. He doesn't talk to you about that, huh? Are you addicted to a proverb a day? Your wife would like to know. There you go. Proverb 24. Hey, now when we look at this, I just lay it out for you. If you wanted to establish your house, this is your proverb, 24:3, right? Through wisdom, a house is builded. Now, we can talk about the wisdom that God gives to build a life, but look down with me to verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now, spiritual wisdom, spiritual strength. We're studying Gideon, where the angel shows up to him when he's hiding out threshing wheat because of fear of the enemy, and his greeting is, "Hail, mighty man of valor." And he looks around and says, "Who, me?" My paraphrase. What do you mean? And so you come to 24:5, and I can just introduce to you, this is not about the wisdom of the world. When Paul showed up to Corinth, he said this to the church there. As he brought the gospel, he wrote his letter back. He says, "When we came, we shared the gospel with you, only Christ crucified, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Very important that we operate in the wisdom that comes forth from God. Certainly if we're going to build and establish, I think it's been illustrated here, building a house, a spiritual house, you can think of the church being established. And then the strength, I'll just say this, this new man, this new woman in Christ, being a new creation in Christ, there's a work that God desires to do in and through your life. There's a witness that he desires to have with your life. He has given you wisdom to be strong and to increase in strength. If you need some New Testament help, that you might be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man. Or in the context of going to war, the weapons of our warfare is the description of be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the power of the Spirit of God, that type of might. Now, 24:6, as I take the context of today's proverb together with Judges 8 and entitle it Wisdom in Our Spiritual Warfare, look at 24:6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. He that devises to do evil shall be called a mischievous person, And then 9, the thoughts of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, I've introduced it tonight in the context of Gideon's life. The wisdom in our spiritual warfare. Now, before you go all the way back to Judges, let's stop by at one more place, 2 Corinthians 10. Now, we can talk about the weapons of our warfare, and I think it's enough, if we would be honest, at some point we need to talk about the war of our spiritual warfare, that it even exists. I talk about being a new creation in Christ, and not only does then God bring forth these works and this walk and this wisdom and this war, again, if you will, in this new life that's now in you, well, Satan's trying to destroy that at the same time. So there is a warfare. So we could talk about the war of our warfare, but tonight I'm talking about the wisdom in our spiritual warfare. And I think it will click in here pretty quickly. So the existence of this war, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And then key verse for me tonight as a part of what we need to accomplish. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? And very important here. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again. So when people ask, are you sure? That's Paul saying, be sure that you are sure. Okay. When people say to me, are you sure? I said, are you calling me a liar? Of course I'm sure. I wouldn't have said it otherwise. But Paul says to us, if you trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's, belonging to him. Now, describing that in our warfare, let's take up this wisdom in our warfare, wisdom in our spiritual warfare. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, so again, the war has taken place, if you will. Gideon goes forth with the 300 men, breaks the pitchers, torches come out, trumpets sound, happens all at the changing of the guard, and the Midianites, together with the Amalekites, as they're all together, the people of the east, they start killing each other. Again, the sword of the Lord. Now, I also know this, the sword of Gideon, or when God says to him, go in this might of yours. He is going to be wielding the physical sword. When you think of the word of the Lord to Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Do you realize it wasn't Zerubbabel's sword? It wasn't his might. That one was done by the Holy Spirit to bring about the regathering together and reestablishing of Israel. And getting this clarity of the wisdom in our warfare, we're going to learn from Gideon tonight. The men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus? Why did you do this? Again, that's the word there, serve, is actually, what are you doing? And I think it's again, the context here, that thou called us not. What are you doing that you didn't call us to go to war with you? Now, when you went to fight against the Midianites, and they did chide him sharply. Now, if you'll recall, he struck the army, and they began to flee. He called upon the Ephraimites to get down to the Jordan River and to control the passageways back across the Jordan so they could capture all the Midianites. Now, when that call had gone to them, the war had already begun, and now they are chiding him sharply. Now, over here in your notes, just learn this one. In the wisdom of our spiritual warfare, first one to learn, flesh taunts flesh. You can be walking in the Spirit all day long, fruit of the Spirit, right? Not sinning, and you think, I could live like this all the time. This Christian life works pretty well. Only to come across another Christian who probably lives in the same house with you, who in some of their trouble within, and again, responding according to the works of the flesh, envy, jealousy, emulations, you know, the hatred, the anger, the murders, the various things that go on. And I just know this, flesh taunts flesh. And you learn it right here. Now, doesn't mean that you have to respond. So in the wisdom of our spiritual warfare, This word for chide or chiding him sharply, they're contending with him. Sharply, many times, might even get translated violently. So they're now pleading with him. And again, the way it was described, remember Gideon's other name. Gideon's other name is Jerubbaal, the one who's pleading against Baal. Now the people of God, Ephraim, are pleading against Gideon. Same word. And chiding him or reprimanding him. And let's see how he answers. If you know flesh taunts flesh. And he said unto them, "What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer?" Again, thus taking a stance not to answer when taunted by flesh. Or if you like Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, a harsh word stirs up anger. That's one of the best ways to turn away the carnal nature of anger, if you will, seeking out that answer. But another key thing I want to show you today in the wisdom of our warfare is found in James chapter 3. I introduce it here, and then we're going to prove this for us the whole Bible study long. So find your way to James 3. And I don't have a marker in that because I didn't know if I was turning there. James 3, 13 through 18. Remember tonight's title? What is tonight's title? Wisdom in our spiritual warfare. Okay, we're not talking about the instruments, the weapons. We're not even talking about the war of the warfare. We're talking about the wisdom that we see given by the Spirit unto Gideon to continue in his warfare, that we would learn from it. Now, James 3:13 describes who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you. Now, take that with today's proverb. Today's proverb says a man increases in strength as he is endued with knowledge. Again, comparing spiritual with spiritual. What knowledge? I'll offer it up to you, knowledge of what God is doing. Obviously, Gideon, knowledge of what God wanted to do came to him, and they went forth and did it. And he's continuing in what God showed him to do. You hearing that? So as believers, what do you know the primary task of all the spiritual warfare is? To get you to cease doing what God has called you to do. That's straightforward. How do I know that? Try worshiping. And say, I'm going to worship God, and I'm going to put everything else out, and I'm going to concentrate on giving God worship. What do you know is going to happen the moment you, like, and you gather the family together the first time, husband gets together and says, we need to have family time at home, and he starts to put that together. What do you know is going to happen? The warfare is going to begin just to keep that from happening. Now, in describing what we learn from this, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Proverbs 24:5. A man that is doing what? Again, increasing, that one who is increasing in that knowledge, being strengthened. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with a meek of wisdom. Now, let me illustrate to you just by looking at what's not there. It does not say that let him show out of a good conversation his words with a meekness of wisdom. Okay, and this is I'm sowing that seed for you now, and we'll carry this through the Bible study tonight. Because it's one thing to say something and quite another to actually do it. You know, you take out this place tonight as we talk about the wisdom of our spiritual warfare. We can do Bible studies on the armor all day long. I have a friend who puts his armor on every day. Opens up to that passage. He reads that passage every day. What is still his challenge, like every one of us, right? You can read it and you can have the words, but what do you have to have now? By your conversation, you have to walk that out. So if you have wisdom and do nothing with it, what does that make you? A fool. Who said that? There you go. So now we become accountable tonight to the wisdom in our spiritual warfare. Now, as we undertake this flesh taunts flesh, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Some of you might shrink back and say, I'll let somebody else answer that. Right? But I'm going to answer it. Right? Who's wise and endued with knowledge among us? We are. Meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Sometimes in the deceit of the flesh taunting flesh, we can think we're so right when we're so carnal. Okay? This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. What's the wisdom that Gideon is walking in that current warfare? I put before you, he is operating in that easy to be entreated. He is peaceable. Again, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace. Plain and simple, is Ephraim his enemy? Somehow, if we could just convince Christians not to make other Christians their enemy. Very important as we undertake this tonight. We take a look at this beginning of this in the meekness of wisdom. Gideon, back in chapter 8, verse 2, he lays out, look at the wisdom and peaceable nature of the meekness of wisdom in which he answers them, and he says, what you accomplished. In fact, they probably caught more of the men of Midian trying to go back. They actually end up getting Oreb and Zeb, the two princes. God delivered them into the hands of the Ephraimites, and he says, what was I able to do in comparison to you? Yin, that meekness of wisdom. So as you take this on, what if the next carnal taunting of flesh versus flesh that you experience, and you just seek out the way of escape and say, Lord, what is the meekness of wisdom for how I'm to answer? Now, describing that beginning, let's get on now to some more entanglement, if you will. Because isn't that what it is in the warfare? War is never clean. Neither is the spiritual warfare. Spiritual war is never clean. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men. Now, first thing I want you to write there, he successfully stays on with what he needs to do. What if he had stopped and gotten a fight with the Ephraimites over who is right and who's wrong? My way is better than your way. I'm the greatest in the kingdom of God. No, I'm the greatest. What if he had gotten into one of those, you're not sharing the gospel, right? You are sharing the gospel, right? What you believe in, you know, again, whatever he could have got tangled up with, he would have stopped what God had called him to do, which was to destroy the Midianites. God would deliver them into his hand. And again, we need to see in this wisdom of our warfare, many things enter in and it simply gets you to stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I'll go here. Many times, even the obligation to family will do what? Take you out of what God has shown you to do. Now, describing this, passing over the 300 men, if you thought they were on a two-week battle, you're wrong. They struck at night, and the war continued. They're fleeing at night. They're still in the same night. Same battle, same war. They cross over the Jordan. The men that are with them faint, yet pursuing them. Now, what's our excuse? Vomitous, carnal, flesh, bag of pus Christians that we really are, when it comes down to it. Almost every one of us has this knee-jerk reaction when we go carnal and we say, and our excuse is, oh, I was tired. Don't give yourself all away, all at once. I was tired. And we almost accept that as an excuse. I'm just going to look right here and just say, they are tired and they are not going to faint. So again, just take this up in your sowing and reaping, right? Galatians 6. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Sometimes you can be faint and weary, not because of the length of the battle, but because of the intensity. I mean, there are certain spiritual warfares that become very intense very quickly. And you can give in or stop. And it's just easier not to serve God. And in this place of Gideon with the men, they are faint yet pursuing them. Won't quit. Okay? just not going to give up. That type of persistence. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of the Midian. Kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give bread unto thine army? Okay. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Now, no doubt they have seen the Midianites flee that way. And I don't know if they're running the ticker on the counter, but we're going to find out in just a bit. There's still 15,000 in the army that got away with the kings. And so for them to like see these, you know, ragtag 300 group of men tired and again, in unbelief, say, you won't get them. Why would we help you? Who are you? Whatever it might be. But you'll notice as you take that up, Gideon, he's not answering like he did to the Ephraimites. Okay? He says, when God has done this. There's always the voice within church that says what? It'll never happen. Oh, that you I'll believe it when I see it. And then I'm not sure I'll believe it was real. That's the aspect of when he says, the Lord is going to do this. The Lord is going to deliver Zeba and Zalmunna. He goes on to Penuel, verse 8. Spake unto them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him the same as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto them, unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now this wisdom in our warfare, as we take this up, we do need to war. The wisdom of the instructions that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, you catch the reference here. He's going to tear down this tower. Okay, there's a stronghold. That's the tower. It's the stronghold of what they're trusting in, yet they're not believing that God would deliver them from the enemy. Same way with the men of Succoth. You can't do this. And I think this is great for us to really grasp and understand. And what we're really talking about is the gift of faith. The gift of faith. That what is going on with Gideon is full on believing and trusting that God is going to do this. He went with 300 up against a multitude that numbered 135,000. That's faith. Now, as you take that stance to walk in the Spirit and then that spiritual gift of faith, and I just strengthen you here, the wisdom is you have to hold to what God said to you. Okay? You have to hold to what you heard from the Lord. Now, describe that in the context of seeking God day in, day out, or as I like to say it, an hour or two for the last 25 years of my life. Right? Every day, seeking the Lord, giving that time, praying, asking. And Tuesday morning, I come to Psalm 37:3 in the Spirit. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Okay? And just let that sink in. Trust in the Lord. And I just take the quick examination. What right now am I not trusting in God in? And then the idea of, or verily thou shalt be fed. So I do the word study. Why does the King James say verily there? And why does the New King James say faithfulness? And which one is it? It's the faithfulness of God. Faithful to feed you. Okay? Trust in the Lord and do good. Not, again, this matches in that, I'm hearing that. That means as I'm hearing that, whether I be weary in well-doing, you see how Galatians 6:8 comes up for me. Do not grow weary in well-doing. In fact, the word is trust in the Lord and what? Do good. But what about my job? What about this? What about I don't have money for that? What about this? What about that? And I'm just describing unto you, in this warfare, is Gideon holds to what God said to him in the face of what others in unbelief say is not going to happen. Now, might not be a big deal for you, but I'll tell you what, It is for Gideon. Now, Zeb and Zalmunna were in Karkor, verse 10. And their host was with them, about 15,000 men. All that were left of the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. Now, it's already been a great victory. Okay? He could have stopped there. Now, I'm going to give you some wisdom here in this warfare. Why can't you stop? Well, because you obey the Holy Spirit. Okay? You got that? You can't stop until your obedience is complete. So in the wisdom of our warfare, the instruction is to take the thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. The next verse says, being ready to punish all disobedience when? When your obedience is fulfilled. This is why he's weary and they're faint and yet they're still pursuing. Now, this part here for us, don't pull a Saul. I went on the mission that you wanted me to go on. Well, how come I hear then the bleeding of the flocks, the sheep, the goats? Why do I hear you were supposed to destroy all them? How come I hear them? And then you kept Agag alive? Well, I'll tell you what, I believe he also kept many others alive. He kept the best. And again, here the wisdom in our warfare is this. Listen closely. Because out of Saul's life, who pretended his obedience because he went on the Lord's mission, but he wasn't careful to do the command. Now, describing this obedience, I'm just going to lock you in with Gideon. Gideon is going to pursue until his obedience is complete. Now, the Lord is the one delivering. The Lord is the one saving. The Lord is the one who sent Saul. And Saul offers up, I save this as an offering unto God. And then that great phrase, as Samuel gives answer from the Spirit of God unto him, to obey is better than sacrifice. So this wisdom in our warfare, you might find out that you're actually sacrificing in the warfare. Thinking that if you just do the sacrifices, the warfare, God gets what he wants out of me in this warfare. I'm sacrificing unto God. God gets more. But the reality is that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in obedience. Now, in describing this, the wisdom of our warfare, obey the Spirit. 5:32, right? Acts 5:32. Same chapter where those that completely lie to and disobey the Holy Spirit die is another great recognition of those who obeyed the Holy Spirit, that God gave them the Spirit more and more. Do you ever wonder, why is so-and-so, why are they hearing the Spirit of God? Why is someone hearing the Spirit of God and then they're hearing more? Well, it's because of obeying the Spirit. Now, I don't know how many you have so far, but I know that flesh taunts flesh. That's wisdom in our spiritual warfare. To then have that wisdom and the meekness of wisdom in your answering and the wisdom to not stop what God has called you to just because of the warfare. And now we're on to obedience, right, is more important than sacrifice. 120,000 men drew the sword. Verse 11, Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents of the east of Nobah and Jogbenah, and he smote the host, for the host was secure. I think the sense is that they felt they were secure. Okay, you catch that. They didn't think Gideon would still be doing what? See, and that's that element of surprise. Why are you surprised by the enemy? See, we're told that we're to know the wiles of the devil. How come is it that, again, you get into warfare and you get surprised? You know, at some point, you should lay this forth as, why am I not living my life in such a way that I surprise the enemy? Through my obedience, my persistence, and again, just catching that wisdom in our warfare is, why does it always have to be defensive? See, we operate in such a way where I just really want to be left alone, and then the enemy's bugging me now. But this, again, if you're going to go forth and do all the things that God has called you to do, guess what you're doing? You're pursuing the enemy. And again, I just would say this, the wisdom in our warfare that we learn, be the one to smite the enemy. It says in 11, he smote the host. In 12, he discomfited the host. That you would prepare in all your preparation of what you're going to go forth and do, and especially in the spiritual warfare, what if you preempted that fight that you might have with your spouse with words like, I've been praying for you this morning and I really believe the Lord wants me to tell you how much I love you and how wonderful you are. Huh. That you would be on that much of the, hey, let's pray together. Hey, this is what's before me today. Hey, thinking about what today is, let's get together and let's take up this warfare. Now, describing this, smiting the host and discomfited all the hosts, Zeba and Zalmunna fled. He pursued after them, took the two kings. All right? And look at 13. Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. Now, put your bookmarker here. Find your way to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. What's tonight titled? Wisdom in our spiritual warfare. Ecclesiastes, where is that book? Psalms, Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I'm not addicted to Ecclesiastes every day, are you guys? I'm addicted to Proverbs every day. Where is it? There we go. Chapter 9. Now let's go to 11. 9:11. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. What do you know about Solomon? He's looking at this under the sun. He's looking at the wisdom apart from the S-O-N, the Son of God. For a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Okay? Zeba Zalmunna, right? Again, you catch the context here. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. In fact, the wisdom of this world is probably what caused the men of Penuel and Sukkot to say what to Gideon. You're never going to get them. Why would we give you bread when you're not going to catch these two kings? You're not going to do this. See, wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And I want to get to 9:18. So when I talk about wisdom in our spiritual warfare, now I'm going to lay it out for you. We talk about the weapons, instruments, and you don't know what to do with them. Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is receiving from God, what do I do with this belt of truth? If you say you have the weapons of our warfare, you have the belt of truth on, do you actually use the wisdom to take that instrument up in the way that it is to be used? In other words, when you're hearing lies all day long, do you actually answer with the truth? In your mind, when you hear a lie, do you just let it go right by and say, oh, okay, I guess so? Or do you hear the lie and take the word of God and say what? The word of God says. See, now I'm going to offer to you this wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Why? Well, in the context of David putting on Saul's armor, what did he say? I haven't proven them. This is not my armor. I haven't tested it. So what did he take up? He took up his weapons that he knew with wisdom how he could strike the enemy. I'm just going to let this sort of sink in tonight. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Back to that, trust in the Lord and do good. Back to that, do not grow weary in well-doing, as you catch the context of what I'm sharing with us tonight. Now, wisdom is better than the weapons of war. So the wisdom in our warfare. Sun rose up, verse 13 of Gideon, returned from the battle. So he has successfully used the weapons of his warfare, physical warfare. Now the sun comes up, and watch the wisdom. And I'll start here, the wisdom in our warfare. It starts with the wisdom of correction. One sinner destroys much good. How about a city called Sukkot and two cities called Sukkot and Penuel in which one sinner destroyed much good? Okay. Do you realize in the middle of the spiritual warfare that sin, right? Sin will destroy all of it. Again, as you would form your plan and you're seeking God's wisdom for your life, your warfare, your what you're building, or ministry, or you're going forth, one sinner will destroy much good. So guess what Gideon does? The wisdom in our warfare, I'll say it, address sin. Address sin. He comes back before the sun was up. He caught a young man of the men of Sukkot and inquired of him, and he described in him the princes of Sukkot, the elders, and there were 70 men. So was that 77? And he came to the men of Sukkot and said, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me." Okay, you hear it? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, this upbraiding, and now he's saying to him. So he says, "You say I can't get them. I have them." So what does he do? He corrects their double-minded, or again, their unbelief. He corrects it. "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give you bread that unto thy men that are weary?" And he just quotes what they said to him. "And he took the elders of that city, the thorns of the wilderness and briars with them he taught the men of Sukkot." So the wisdom of our warfare is to what? Correct sin. Okay? Correct the sin. He goes on to the Tower of Penuel and slew the men, beat down the Tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. They had a false refuge, right? Trusting in man. Obviously, their character was not worth teaching, but in this case, he slew the men. "Then he said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they, each one resembled the children of a king. And he said," so Gideon answers them, "they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had saved them alive, I would not slay you." Yeah, you'll catch there's actually a sort of flattering reference there. Oh, they were children of a king. See? "And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise up and fall upon us, for as a man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks." Now, this wisdom of our warfare, you have to be willing, right, to put to death the works of the flesh. Just that straightforward. Now, I'm not over-spiritualizing here for you, but in his natural warfare, at some point, Gideon has to be willing to put the rule of the kings who had oppressed the people of God, and he's got to kill them. So when you read in the weapons of our warfare, the wisdom of our warfare is what? Crucify the flesh. What happens if you let the flesh live? Well, it stays alive. Then it strengthens itself. So the wisdom in our warfare is to put to death the works of the flesh. Verse 22, then a man of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us. So, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son, thy son's sons also. They're trying to make him king, if you catch what's happening. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of the Midian. Hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. That's the right answer. Right? That's the right answer. So now, let's go back to James chapter 3. 13 through 18. And let's concentrate on the phrase. Who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show by his conduct or his conversation that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. James 3:13. So in this wisdom of our spiritual warfare, okay, the works with the meekness of wisdom, not the words. So what do I see with Gideon here in 22 and 23? Well, I'll give you wisdom in this warfare. Many men will boast of and then possess and have a great wisdom of the enemy without, only to yield to the enemy within. So he has the right words, but he doesn't follow through with the works that match this meekness of wisdom. Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, 24, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Now, again, remember studying this with my brother's pastor probably 25 years ago on cassette tape and describing just the whole thing of he believes they even had put jewelry on the camels. So it wasn't just the jewelry of the men, it was we're talking an abundance of the Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them, and they spread a garment, and they did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the gold golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that are about their camels' necks. Oh, there it is. I'm really smart. So my brother's pastor, I guess he just read the Bible and taught it. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city of Ophrah, and all Israel went there a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. So in the wisdom of our warfare, beware the snare. Okay? Beware the snare. The wisdom of our warfare. What do you know that Satan's going to do in the midst of all the spiritual warfare? He is going to tempt you. Okay, so back to that. God is faithful. So if I get on to Psalm 37:3 and feed on his faithfulness, the faithfulness of God, the steadfastness of God. What do you know when you're tempted? The steadfastness of God, he provides a way of escape. Just taking that from 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now describing this wisdom, beware the snare, it begins here. That's 50 pounds of gold. That's 50 pounds of gold. What is 50 pounds of gold? Money. Okay? Beware the snare. After great victory, maybe in your personal life, or I would even offer up to you successful ministries, what is many times in the wisdom of our warfare, what is usually missed? The snare of this world. Or the way that it's described in the New Testament, Paul writing to Timothy to instruct the church, he says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Two different things. So what do I find out here in the words sound right? I don't want to rule over you. We're not going to rule over you, but what does he do? He takes the riches, makes this ephod. So again, an ephod, that you think of that was part of the priestly garments, like we almost think of it like a vest, you know, worn over the priestly garments. The one that the high priest had the stones in it, the 12 stones where he was to carry the names of Israel really on his heart, if you will. But here he makes an ephod of gold, and he doesn't put it where the tabernacle is at, but he puts it in his house or in his city. Didn't he just get away from in his father's house the idolatry of Baal? Now, reference there to the ephod, so I'm not going to be your king, but maybe it's a reference to him wanting to be the spiritual authority. We don't know. I'm only suspecting, and we're left with that. But we do know that they began to worship it, and then that became a snare unto Gideon. Now, if I say to you, 1 John 2:15, what does that mean to you? 1 John 2:15. In the wisdom of our spiritual warfare, beware the snare. Do you know where all of our spiritual warfare takes place? When you get to heaven, will you be having spiritual warfare? So where does all the spiritual warfare, the warring between... Now, there is war in heaven between Michael and his angels and Satan and his angels, then Satan's cast down. But when you get to heaven, are you in warfare? So where is all your warfare? In the world. So if I say 1 John 2:15, in this context, in the wisdom of our warfare, beware the snare, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So in the wisdom of our spiritual warfare, beware of what? The world. Your love and lust for the things that this world has to offer. We also find out, if I remind you of 6:34, that Gideon was a man where the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he went forth and had a great and powerful victory. In the wisdom of our warfare, what do you know? Do Spirit-filled Christians, do they still sin? Are they still tempted to partake of all the lusts of the world? So that's part of our wisdom of our warfare. So you have the money that results in this ephod, and I'll offer this up to you. He didn't spend all 50 pounds of the gold on the ephod. I'm pretty certain of that. How do I know that? Well, keep going. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted up their heads no more. The country was in quietness 40 years, the days of Gideon, and Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Okay. So far, so good. Words, I will not rule over you. Okay. But now look at verse 30. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. So, what do you know about that? Number 70. You're going to see that repeat. It's a description of the kings start to have many wives. They multiply wives, they multiply money, they multiply horses, even though they were told not to. So even though he says, I will not rule over you, what does he start doing? His words were right, but now let a man show by his conduct or his conversation that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So is it enough for me to say to you, James 3 says about the tongue? Okay. Verse 30, and Gideon had 70 sons of his body, for he had many wives. This is how I know he kept some of that wealth. Because not only is it to have that many wives and that many children, not only is it like lust of the flesh, which again, I think that's pretty straightforward, But it's also a sign that he has the wealth to be able to support them. Okay? It's a king thing. How do I know it's a king thing? Well, he has a concubine in Shechem. Did anybody else notice, like I did, like these three cities by name are like where Jacob had something important happen in his walk in relationship with the Lord? Penuel is where he became Israel. Sukkot is when he came back, and instead of going back into the promised land, he stopped short and dwelt there in Sukkot. And then Shechem was when he was in the promised land, and it's the place where he then turned back to the Lord. It's really interesting. So all three of those places. And so now Gideon has a concubine in Shechem. She also bare him a son whose name he called Abimelech. Now I'll help you out a little bit with your Hebrew. Abba, what's Abba mean? Father, what's Melech? Nobody knows? King. So you know what he names his son? My father, the king. It's a king thing. What do we learn in this wisdom of our warfare? So his words say one thing, but his works another. Or, beware the snare, 1 John 2:15, gets you on to love not this world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life. My father, the king, pride of life. You know, when pastors start believing the press that so many people listen to them and that they're really something, beware the snare, right? Or Christian musicians. You know, like, you ever look at any of those songs? Like, how do they have 250 million plays? Right? And you're going to go and stand up in front of people and think about what? Beware the snare. Just again, wisdom of our warfare. My father, the king. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age. They buried him in the sepulcher of Joash's father, hometown there with Oprah, by his rights. Again, of the tribe of Manasseh, in case you remember that. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went to whoring after Baalim, again, plural for the Baals, and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of their enemies on every side. Neither showed they the kindness unto the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. And then you'll come back next week for chapter 9 to find out how and why. Okay? Now, it's one thing to go to war. So you think about the book of Judges, the children of Israel who had come into the land, God, they didn't fully obey and drive out the nations, and God left them there so they would learn war. So why is my life as a Christian so difficult? Why does it seem like there's always someone there fighting against me? Because there is. So this wisdom of this warfare, again, why do I, who am a new creation in Christ, why do I want to sin? Get wisdom of our warfare. Again, what do you learn from Gideon? Well, here's what I learned in chapter 8 that I would lay it forth. He wars really well, but he walks really poorly. He wars really well, but walks really poorly. And let's wrap up tonight with Ephesians 5. Now, I have a God-given call upon my life to convince, exhort, rebuke with all long-suffering and teaching. Right? I don't try to rebuke, although sometimes I wish I could rebuke, and the Lord doesn't let me do it that way. But let's talk about your Christian walk. Not your words. We get so hung up. Oh, I cussed. I did it. Listen, the Holy Spirit will get that all out of you. But your walk. Okay? Let a man show by his conduct or his conversation that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now, you can take this tonight and take this for preparation into Omaha. You've got tonight forward. Walk in the Spirit. Okay? And all the wisdom of your warfare, and now I'm going to take it to you. What do we learn from Gideon? He warred well. He has some great victories. He some power, some might. He even for others, great deliverance, great work of salvation, or you might even be able to say, I have a great radical type of testimony. Right? I used to be going this way as a sinner and radically saved, and now it comes down to that walk the rest of your life. Ephesians 5:1, walk in love. Right? Well, two, right? Followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ loved us, gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What's my call to you in the wisdom of the warfare? Lay down your life. Love, agape, just as Christ gave his life. So, that goes into removing fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, and filthiness, and foolish talking, and jesting. Right? Unto, oh yeah, six, let no man deceive you with vain words. How would you describe Gideon? I will not rule over you, my father the king. I will not rule over you. Give me all your money that you can support my family and all my children. I will not rule over you, right? So those are vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Therefore be not partakers with them. Okay, on to the next one. So the wisdom of walking in the light is verse 8. So you have verse 2, the wisdom of in your warfare, walk in love. You might fail on a lot of things, but if you walk in agape, your walk and then your warfare in that personal life is gonna be very good. Walk in the light. I think that should be reiterated. I know the men had that at the men's conference, but again, that might have been words for some guys that day rather than the walk. Maybe you warred well that day, said all the right things that day, but you know now if darkness has crept back in, then this is the wisdom now to apply by the Spirit to walk in the light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, rather expose them. Let's see, that's 5, 8, 9. Fruit of the Spirit, all goodness, righteousness, truth. Okay, fellowship, shame. That's okay. Verse 14. Awake thou that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. So the wisdom of not walking as fools, but walking as wise. Now, I cannot admonish Gideon. In fact, Gideon's in the hall of faith. None of us are. So it's an interesting mixture for us to see how God accounts this. All we can do is learn from him. That ephod was a snare. Okay? The money, the wives, the lust, the pride of life, a snare. We'll get on to Samson here after a bit, and he's confounding too. But I'm pleading with us as sons and daughters of God through Jesus Christ to walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So that's part of the wisdom in this warfare. Walking carefully, walking in wisdom, making the most of every opportunity is kind of how that redeeming the time goes. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. 5:17, the wisdom of understanding God's will for your life. Is it knowable? Yes, it's knowable. So again, wisdom in our warfare. Let's see. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The wisdom of living Spirit-filled. Yeah. And we'll save the wisdom of marriage God's way. We'll save that for another time. So let me pray for you, which I do often. And then I remind you, guess who else needs prayer? You are to pray for me. Okay? And one another. So, I talk about this book that I handed out to some of the men, and I've mentioned it from the pulpit. It's called Weapons, Weapon of Prayer. You know, some of you have the book, and you might be saying, that's a nice book. Right? 6:18 of Ephesians, Weapon of Prayer. Now, describing this, let's apply the wisdom tonight as we wrap up. More prayer, right? More prayer. It's that straightforward. So, Father in heaven, we take up the wisdom tonight and the weapons of our warfare concerning the wisdom of prayer. And I pray for your saints tonight. Lord, as we take on a study like this, we come asking for wisdom from above, asking for wisdom in our warfare, and then seeing the failing walk of Gideon, Lord, we ask for wisdom in our walk. We understand, Lord, that Gideon was great in wartime, but stumbled in peacetime. And we humble ourselves to behold this truth, and I pray for the saints here. I pray for your church, Lord, that they would not walk after the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That they would walk in the wisdom that is from above, and they would receive that wisdom that causes them to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And each and every one of them, Lord, in their personal lives of decision and warring against the enemy, warring against the flesh, and warring against the world, I ask now for wisdom as we take up this weapon of prayer, that in the heart tonight would be the wisdom of the indwelling of the Word of Jesus Christ. That we take up in prayer that the Word of Christ would dwell in each and every one of us richly in all wisdom. Lord, I also ask and pray for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that the one who brings wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be upon your men and women, especially living in these last days with the warfare and the walk being tested. And Lord, I ask and pray that each and every one in the wisdom of what we've studied tonight, that each and every one in here tonight would trust in you. And I pray for that wisdom of trusting in you, Lord, not trusting in our ways, not trusting in our words, not trusting in our own works, but trusting in you, Lord. And in that trust that we would go forth and do the good that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray for the wisdom of obedience rather than sacrifice. That we wouldn't see our lives through a lens of our sacrifices, but we'd see the obedience to your word. So we take up in this the weapon of our prayer, praying for all the saints, being watchful thereunto this end, for the will of God to be done. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.